From the deepest darkness of Droman Kos to the smelly sewers of Nar Shaddaa to the brightest light that shine on Tython, this is Flashpoint.
Hi everyone and welcome to Flashpoint episode 72, recorded Sunday, February 9th. I'm your host David Holloway and with me are two co-hosts and a special guest, all of whom have played games at the expense of eating. Simon, how are you going?
I'm good. I'm enjoying bargain basement broccoli and white rice, which I scraped off the grocery shop floor.
Broccoli's good for you though.
Is it supposed to be yellow?
I think there is yellow broccoli. Anyway, well, look, we should start a veggie podcast.
Let's say it was that then, yeah.
Christy, how are you?
I was about to say that I'm eating very basic green salads, so the only thing yellow in mine is capsicum.
Oh, nice. Tasty. So I'm going to now throw a pressure on our excellent guest to come up with a vegetable. And that's Joe Foran. Joe is a podcast himself over at Wildstar Radio, and I'll do the plug here, Joe, wildstarradio.com. Welcome.
Thank you very much for having me.
And besides Wildstar obsessive, Joe's also a very, well, you're just saying you're a guildie with Christy in her Star Wars The Old Republic guild.
Yep, I'm on with her and actually Tio and Jason from OtiniCast in the Otini Knights Guild over there on Harbinger.
Let's face it, we're the cool kids.
If I ever get off Mars and join the guild, we might be guildies. That'd be good. And Joe's been very dedicated and is online at 5 a.m. In lovely Connecticut in the U.S. And I imagine, given we're talking about vegetables, we might as well talk about the weather. I imagine it's quite cold.
Yeah, I'm looking at the slow drip in my house from the ice damming that's happened on my bay window and not being bloody happy about it.
Whereas I'm sure I'm like Simon, Simon, you're probably roasting. I'm sitting here in a closed room with a fan on, hoping to keep the heat down. And Christy's eating green salad, say no more.
I've decided I'm going to become bicontinental.
Yeah, that's the idea.
So Christy, from your request a few weeks ago on the podcast here, how about instead a residence swap? I'll come down there in the summer. You can come here in the winter and it'll all be good.
This idea. No, we could do this. Yeah. It's a very nice 26 degrees here. I'm in a singlet and I actually don't have any fans going, so I'm not sure what's going on, Perth.
Yeah. That's unusual. Whereas Simon's hasn't even got a singlet on, and is it warm there?
I haven't actually bothered to check because Friday the owner of my flat decided to that we're going to put in air conditioning. So I've actually had my first experience with air conditioning this weekend.
And
I wasn't going to use it, but OMF freaking G.
Yeah.
It's talk about an epiphany.
Yeah,
it's been like, I think it's been like 97, it's just under 100 outside, and I'm not sure what it is right now, but it has been, and I've just been able to chillax and, you know, not go completely bonkers or stand in front of a fan, so yeah.
Just wait for your first power bill, though.
Yeah, well, it's only going on for special events, say over 35 degrees, I think, although I can see that slipping.
Oh, you just wrecked. I was going to say, when you said it was 97 to 100, I was going to say for our American listeners, that's in Celsius. So in Fahrenheit, it's like 240.
I so wish you had.
Yeah.
Yes. Dr. David and elementary physics and meteorology,
yeah,
everyone.
So, all right, let's jump into it. So, with this episode, we're going to cover, as always, Star Wars The Old Republic, but we're going to cover Some Elder Scrolls Online, some WildStar, some EVE Online. I'm going to talk briefly about Hearthstone again, so there's a fair bit. But before all that, let's catch up on some Republic news.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Republic news.
Well, the big news probably the last fortnight in Star Wars: The Old Republic. Well, there's two things. First is that 2.6 has become available for anyone that chooses to play it. So for those of us that are subscribers and had early access, it's probably not as exciting, but at least there'll be more people in there. I'm too scared to do this, although, Joe, I think you might save the day. But, Simon, have you played a bit of Star Wars: The Old Republic the last fortnight?
You see, these are the sort of questions you should probably ask before we start
recording. Yeah, I know.
But, yeah, preparation. It's what we do. Yes, I have. I was going to say bombed around, but I thought better of it because that would be a really stupid thing to say. I decided to try out the bomber. I spent some of the cartel coins I've been hoarding and bought the one in the cartel market, not the cartel market, with cartel coins. And because I don't like the default one, I'm tired of them trying to do these endless, increasingly desperate riffs on a TIE fighter. And I do not want to tool around in a bomber that looks like an IUD. I'm not going to explain what that is because children listen to this show as well. It's just becoming increasingly ridiculous looking. And the one in the store, it's 1800 cartel coins. I think it's called the Onslaught from memory. And it's not a beautiful ship, but it's squat. It's kind of ugly and mean looking, and you know it's what you want a bomber to look like.
Yeah, and it's better than the default.
It's better than the default. So haven't quite learned how to use that, but that's okay because I haven't really quite learned how to use any of the other types of ship either. But I like it. Just my initial sense of it. I've probably done half a dozen goes in it, and I like it. I also like the fact that there don't still appear to be too many in the battles I've been in, so it's a good opportunity to learn while no one else really quite knows what it's in for. And considering that you can drop mines, and so it's good for defensive purposes, but also provide some level of healing to other players in your team. The thing that really appeals to me about it is it looks like a really good way of completely freaking the other players up. And I do like messing with people's heads if I can.
True.
I must admit,
doesn't hurt that they stuck
me interested.
It has got you interested?
Yeah, it definitely seems more like my alley of interestiness. You know, I like drones, I like mines, and I like healing people.
Enjoy.
Oh my god, I just love robots.
Yeah, and it doesn't hurt that when you buy it out of the cartel market, it comes fully mastered already, so you don't have to go through that rather interminable grind you might have gone through already on the other craft.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And just to give our child listeners some credit, I am going to say what an IUD is. It's an inexploded underground device, given that we've talked about mines. So there you go, you've learned something today. Ask
well
your
done,
parents
David. Well done.
Yes. Bravo. Clap, clap.
Yeah, so tell your parents I learnt what an IUD was today and tell them. They'll be impressed.
Okay, I'll be only letting my daughter listen to parts of this.
That's right. So, Christy, have you been playing a bit the last fortnight as well? Although, actually, I think I might know the answer to this based on your tweets, but go ahead anyway.
Nine. I haven't played this year at all, I don't think. I pretty much joined the guild with the Tory guys and then stopped playing. So it's not their fault, I promise.
So we'll find out what Chrissy has been playing later, of course.
But the double XP weekend coming up next month, that I think I might subscribe again just to grab onto that one.
Excellent.
Yeah, that's going to be good.
And Joel,
I might actually finally get to max level, maybe.
Oh, they're big words.
I have to get someone to help me because I'm only like 42, so I'd be like, If anyone on the weekend of March 14 to 17th has a character around level 42, I haven't played in so long that I can't even remember what planet I'm on, please feel free to group up with me because I need all the help I can get.
I'm like that every morning. But you don't have to worry about hitting level cap anytime soon because it doesn't sound like they're intending to lift it anytime soon. So
we will talk about that. And Joe, you've obviously done some serious playing the last fortnight.
Yeah, Star Wars is my main MMO, aside from WildStar, which I can only talk about the level 1 to 15 stuff. Please drop the NDA, guys. But yeah, I play a commando healer as my main. So it's gone from being the most sucktastic PvP healer to an unkillable onslaught juggernaut machine of healing, which when I think about it is kind of a contradiction.
Yeah,
but I like it though. I like that.
It really works. I'm sitting there taking smashies in the face going, yeah, what? Huh? Oh, yeah. Go away.
See, now I actually did do some PvP only a few hours back, and I'm assuming it might have been your spec because there were three or four of us pounding into this, and nothing seemed to be happening much as far as downing the hit points. So that was probably one of your colleagues.
And the thing is, I'd love to claim that I'm like great, but I think you guys put it best. If I'm in your pug and you wipe, it's probably my fault.
See, that's why we invited you on. Always invite like-minded people. So, 2.6 is out. A lot of people playing it and not resting on their laurels too much. BioWare have released a producer's roadmap for the rest of this year. So the senior producer, Bruce McLean, has outlined a bit of a roadmap. And we talked about this before the show. And I think it's fair to say we're all absolutely wetting ourselves with excitement at the depth of content that's on offer, or not. Simon, what's your take?
Let's just put it this way. I think their philosophy these days is manage expectations. And I think this is a tour de force in that. Really, so the double XP weekend is coming up March 14th and 17th, so that's good. But that doesn't really belong in producer's roadmap, as far as I'm concerned. But it's good information anyway. Adding new flashpoints, well, let's talk about them in order, I suppose. So 2.6, we already know what's happened in there. More detailed scoreboards is good because that's if we're going to get any sort of interest going, any sort of competition going, that all needs to get made as robust as possible. The battle records for Galactic Starfighter. I mean, most of the push is Galactic Starfighter with 2.6, which is cool. Oh, by the way, let's just have a quick snap poll. The pronunciation of the word MESA, is it Mesa?
Yeah, that's Mesa? What I'd say. I think me either too. Are fine.
Anyone want to vote for Mesa?
I probably
only if you promise to serve up a side of Jar Jar, preferably well done.
Yeah. See, I've got
you sir can have the Mesa. Rump. Okay.
Emphasizing the A.
Someone out there's probably going, you bastard. So I'll stop now. If you don't understand the reference, Utini cast, everyone, you really should listen. So anyway, 2.7. So two new flashpoints, Typhon and Korriban, where we're starting to get back into the meat and potatoes of Empire versus Republic. I think that's good. And the fact that it's initiating a new storyline that's going to see us right through to what's going to effectively be the next expansion pack sort of... the level of the Hutt Cartel at the end of the year. I think that they're going galaxy shaking finale.
Yeah, I was going to say that's what lost me with that sense. Galaxy shaking finale. I just want to vomit in my mouth.
Yeah, really? Yeah. That's the hyperbole you want to go with. So little, I mean, I'm kind of keen to see the new story arc would be really good. Obviously, it's not going to be class specific. We all know this now. It's all faction, and that's cool. I mean, they're not made of money, so that could be kind of exciting. And 2.8 new nightmare mode, meh. New ships for Galactic Starfighter. Okay, but I wonder what's left. And then, of course, they finish up with and much more. It's going to be the quote. It's going to be the biggest update to this point. So,
and you skipped over the new Hutball War Zone on Quesh.
That's my favorite part.
Yes, yeah, sorry, I love Hutball.
I might be the only one, but I actually really love Hutball.
No, there's a lot of people that like Hutball, but until they actually start making it into give us a spectator mode, for God's sake. I mean, it could be something really, it could be something really cool. They could make it so much better. They've got the foundations for something there, but they just don't seem to be building on it in the way I would like. And yes, I know that it's an MMO, so you've got people who want more of this or that. It's a smorgasbord, and you know, you have to be careful, otherwise all you end up with is 20 versions of pasta salad. So,
but they can't do the give me all of the things. You mean that might cost too much?
Well, yeah. I believe the sub numbers are, well, stable. Let's be charitable and say they're stable.
Yeah.
See, I'd say stagnant.
Right. Well. Nice. Yeah, thanks, David.
See, if I write for a reputable gaming, you'd use the word stagnant just to get the reader numbers in.
Oh, okay. In case you're reading.
Wouldn't you also have a headline? Wouldn't you also have a headline that says something like
bankruptcy on the horizon?
Yeah. Like, but what about SWTOR subscribers? You'd be shocked to find out.
Yeah, exactly.
Nice.
Yeah, just to hit that Upworthy and Facebook ad wonderful crap.
That's right. Yeah. I mean, and also the development. I like how they call it the development cadence, so that they're going to move for minor updates to a 3-week rather than a 2-week cycle to improve the amount of bugs they catch. Which I can see the point of that, but that could also be seen as a way to say, yeah, well, it's taken us longer to get stuff done, so give us a break.
Yeah, that one kind of, yeah. They deserve a break that way.
Yeah.
It is kind of crazy.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, and, you know, maybe if the cadence does, the beat slows slightly, then 2.6A wouldn't be necessary. Or maybe that's just a fact of life, because there's always going to be something you don't catch.
Yeah, true. And that's going live this Tuesday, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, well, there's stuff in there, but I mean, yeah, I'm always looking for the story stuff because I love the solo, because I'm so sociable, the solo questing stuff, and there's not a lot in that roadmap for me, but at least there's stuff there at all, I suppose.
Yeah, and to be perfectly honest, the Galactic Starfighter is consuming an awful lot of people's time at the moment. It's I think it's fair to say it's been a hit.
You know, stagnant sort of way.
Yeah, I like it, even though I'm absolutely horrible at it, as in I'm the guy hitting the wall and can't seem to figure out how not to hit the wall.
Yeah.
I enjoy playing it because it does sort of take me back to my younger days of X-Wing versus TIE Fighter and X-Wing and TIE Fighter and all those. But it is very much a World of Warplanes feel to it. In space with Star Wars.
Mm.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that is true, but still it's pretty neat.
Oh, it is. And it looks pretty. I mean, I've got to admit that I played it that initial couple of weeks and had half a dozen games and I haven't been back to it, but that's been my behavior with this game as far as the space stuff the whole time. So I'm not a good gauge on that, but yeah, obviously a lot of people are enjoying it. So I just like running around Alderaan with my macro binocular quests. And I tell you what, Alderaan is one of the places you go back to and you go, oh, really, again? Alderaan shits me. Not as much as Taris, but it's up there.
I just like looking at the mountains.
Yeah, they are pretty.
It's very pretty, but Rakul's on Alderaan. Couldn't they have picked someplace better?
Yeah. Oh, well, yes, they will. Each time it comes back, they'll be picking somewhere better, or at least somewhere different.
Yeah, I feel bad for them because the day that patch launched, people looked at the achievement section and like, okay, so it's going here and here and here.
Yep.
Way to spoil the surprise, guys.
Yeah. And hopefully they're not just going to end up reskinning the tunnels, the same damn tunnels on every planet with just recolored.
Well, it's not on the roadmap. They may do nothing.
Oh, no, that's because it's a surprise.
Oh, true. And to be fair, they did say that they really haven't done the roadmap for 2014. They've really only covered it up till June. So we might get some more exciting stuff for second half of the year.
Well, they do also mention that they will be doing two digital expansions, both similar to Galactic Starfighter and Rise of the Heart Cartel, and they haven't mentioned any of that in the roadmap. So maybe that's part of the first one coming out in June and then another one at the end of the year.
Yeah.
No, that's a fair point. I mean, really, they should have been in the roadmap.
You would think they would at least generally not give you any hints here, guys, but you know, expect something cool at June, you know, and then at the end of the year, not that hard.
No, that's true. There's some positives there, and I think you're all a bit harsh on BioWare as their main defender on this podcast. I think you need to give them a break.
Apart from the token effort, you haven't been doing much defending, mister.
No, I don't
get that crap.
No, I'm probably their harshest critic on this podcast, although we all give them a fair battering, as they deserve.
Yeah, I have to admit, I mean, as much as they're so terrible at public relations and media management and hyperbole, I do really enjoy the game. I think the whole thing is fun. They just do such a bad job of talking about their plans and then implementing them until at least a patch after the big patches.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm.
Their QA is just awful.
That's true. I mean, look, let's be honest. If I didn't still like the game, I wouldn't still be paying them the money.
Me too.
Yeah.
I'm on that side. I'd like to see them do a couple of things a little bit better, if only just to stop the nerd rage that invariably pops up after every utterance. I just feel sorry for the community team.
Yeah,
they do a great job though.
They really do have to deal with some anger issues because wow.
Yeah, particularly their Facebook posts are terrible. Every time they post something on Facebook, the rage is there straight away.
Oh, I tried to participate in that community and I was like, piss off after about four posts. I was like, gah, no, you people need to calm down and, I don't know, take whatever Hulk-inducing pills you're taking and stop taking them.
I'm suspecting probably some severe impacted bowels are the issue there, because the shit ain't coming out where it's supposed to. So it seems to be coming out in their comments.
Yeah. Oh,
I love talk.
They're trying.
We're just spraying everything down the bottom, aren't we?
Yeah. I'm sorry. I blame myself for this one.
Self-induced.
But I mean, like, they're the whole thing on 2.7, like those two new flashpoints, I mean, they're on major plot points there. They could make so much out of that. A little bit of drool might, you know, be in order if they filled that out, but they just don't, and just left there going, okay, you're gonna what, shake the galaxy? Okay, great. Tell me more.
Yeah. I want to know who's going to shake it and how.
Yeah. I mean, shake it.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, you look at the history of Korriban and Typhon, those two worlds, I mean, they're effectively the foundation worlds for the Jedi and the Sith. And, I mean, the backstory for those, I mean, Typhon's got some Force-related catastrophic environmental issues, for one thing. But anything that's going back to either of those worlds, and, yeah, it may well be something that's galaxy-shaking. It could be something that strikes both orders at their core. But a little bit more information, or because you just look at the roadmap and it just looks awfully thin, and I don't think it needs to.
You're right, and from a story viewpoint, you're right, and that's what gets me is the superficiality of it. There'll be more flashpoints, more war zones. Yeah, where's the story?
Yeah, I think they've gone for the wrong approach here. They shouldn't have used bullet points. You should have gone, bullet points are for details, and they're not giving us details. They should have wrote it more as, you know, the way they do bug reports and stuff. Just give us vague, fun information instead of saying, you know, hey, we're going to do this, but we're not going to tell you why or how or anything like that. So, yeah, I mean, they talk about the two new expansions in the paragraph underneath the bullet points. Like, really? That's not bullet point worthy? Mm.
And after the double XP weekend.
Right after your eyes start to get tired from reading all of this wall of textiness, they put in some meat.
Yeah.
My guess is he's written it himself. I'd say it actually hasn't been through their marketing people, if I was going to guess. He's gone, I can write, I don't need your filter on things, let me publish it.
Yes, to which I say, Bruce, sweetie, darling, for God's sake.
You pay people to do this.
Hell, they don't pay people to do it. Get an intern to look at it, for God's sake. Even an intern could have seen this is a piece of crap.
Yes.
It could have been so much better. It could have been handled so much better. There's some good information in here, and it's just not appropriately expressed. And it really needs to be. It needs to be. I mean, this is what's going to keep people interested into the middle of the year and beyond. This is the future of the game, and it needs to be treated with a little bit more regard. Also, no exclamation marks in your salutation. Hello, everyone, exclamation mark. No, wrong. No. Don't do that.
Agreed.
Only if you're hosting a talk show.
Yes, that's right.
Yes, or a podcast.
See, if I could be asked, we should totally put this on the website, done how it should be done, but that would just take effort, so I'm not going to do that.
And it's also would set us up for criticism. Yeah. And who the hell needs that?
No.
I was going to say, when I used to be lead community manager, I used to get enough criticism for this sort of stuff.
Yeah. Let alone inviting it.
So. See, that's why I feel I can give criticism to Bruce. It's like, dude, I've been there. Go on. You know, you guys have no excuse. That's what I'm just saying.
Yes. So there you go. There's a good Star Wars The Old Republic discussion. And that's not the end of Star Wars The Old Republic. Our good friend and colleague, ODS1, is back this week with another segment on something very topical with the 2.6 expansion. And he's requested it be titled Kuat and their famous ice creams. Over to you, ODS1.
Thank you, Master David. It is always a pleasure listening to your authoritative tones. And before my sincerity circuits burn out, let me also extend good wishes to you, dear listeners. I hope your annual celebration of massive, massive credit card bills, or whatever it is you people do, went well. To those of you still clinging to the delusional fantasy that you will adhere to your New Year's resolution, congratulations! I hope your flight from reality is as enjoyable as it is pointless. Now, on the subject of flight, and to honour the arrival of Update 2.6, I thought it would be an ideal time to talk about the planet Kuat and the legendary star yards that ring it. Showing a remarkable efficiency in naming, the planet Kuat circles the star Kuat and is located in the Kuat sector. Originally, the planet was settled by colonists from Coruscant about 27,500 BBY. When the Galactic Republic was created in 25,053 BBY, Couette became one of the original sponsors to its founding charter. However, it was not until the Ten, a group of aristocratic families from the core systems, including the Couette family themselves, chose the planet to be the foundation for the largest, most efficient shipyard in the galaxy, that the planet was terraformed to the world we know today. The establishment of the shipyards initially met with stiff resistance from existing external interests, who went so far as to employ espionage, hire pirates, and sabotage. There were also internal tensions within the Ten that threatened to destroy the new venture until an accord was finally reached and the inheritance exemption was signed, giving the Couette family control in perpetuity over the yards. With both the internal stresses settled and the external ones ultimately being fruitless, the shipyards were free to grow rapidly in both size, capacity, sophistication and prestige, catering for a wide variety of commercial customers. And while it maintained production of leisure and commercial vessels, it began to focus on the more lucrative market of military production for the Republic Navy and, as required, the Jedi themselves. Throughout the Old and New Sith War periods, Couette Drive Systems, or KDY, was considered a first-class builder of ships, but despite its long history and size, it was not regarded as a top-tier shipyard. That strata of industry was occupied already by three great names, Horsch Kessel Drive Incorporated, Corellia Star Drive, and Core Galaxy Systems. Couette set its sights on becoming a member of this group and engaged in vicious competition with Core Galaxy Systems. Between price wars, industrial espionage, and more underhanded tactics than you could name, Core Galaxy suffered severe losses and was forced to sell its assets in 500 BBY. KDY bought the company and retired the Core Galaxy Systems name. With this purchase, Couette took its place as the top shipbuilder in the Old Republic. It was soon joined by the Corellian Engineering Corporation, or CEC, which had bought out Corellia Star Drive when the older company lost its entire sector design team in a shuttle accident. KDY quickly earned a reputation as a predatory company. Besides Core Galaxy, Couette rapidly bought up a number of smaller shipbuilders and built factories on a number of worlds outside the Couette sector. It also established a number of subsidiaries to cater to smaller, more specific markets. Couette Leisure focused on civilian vessels, Couette Vehicles built air speeders, land speeders and speeder bikes, Couette Systems Engineering was responsible for starfighter design and light patrol craft such as the legendary D5 Mantis, and Kempat Engineered Defences, jointly with CEC, designed and built starship shield generators and sensor arrays. In the centuries prior to the Clone Wars, Couette Drive Yards constructed a number of large warship designs, including several massive Star Battlecruisers and Star Dreadnoughts, as part of the Couette Sector Defense Fleet. They were also significant members of several commercial and trade groups, including the Trade Federation Directorate and the Techno Union, with whom they began experimenting with ever larger ship designs. However, prior to the Clone Wars, they severed all links with both bodies. This was partly precipitated by an Amoidian delegate attempting to orchestrate the assassination of the entire leadership of the Trade Federation Directorate, which included two Couette. Like any good predator, KDY caught the scent of future events on the wind and demonstrated that good timing is pivotal to good profits. Shortly after these events, Rathana Heavy Engineering, one of KDY's many subsidiaries, was subcontracted by the Cloners of Kamino to build a full range of assault starships and combat vehicles for a secret clone army they were developing. So with their metaphorical flag firmly planted in the Republic's soil, KDY's manufacturing power was thrown entirely into the Republic's war effort as they developed new mobile troop deployment and weapons platforms, such as the AT-TE and a series of new interceptor, fighter and capital starships. With a number of major starships under the control of the Techno Union and other members of the CIS, Couette was suddenly besieged with orders for capital ships. Within days of the Battle of Geonosis, for example, an order for an additional 1,000 transports was received, plus further orders for a variety of warships, support vessels and ground armour. Despite being the single largest and most powerful shipyard in the galaxy, the scale of the Clone Wars was beyond even KDY's ability. To keep up with the demand for vessels and match separatist shipyards, KDY joined forces with other loyal companies such as CEC and Rendai Star Drive. CEC focused on small troop transports, corvettes and gunships, while Rendai and KDY formed the Victor Initiative project to share development experience for heavy multi-role warships, the first of which was the Victory 1 class Star Destroyer. It was at the Battle of Foros that a pocket fleet of these ships, rolled into service 6 months early, proved the concept of heavy capital ships being the way ahead. Eventually, this design philosophy would lead to the development of gargantuan vessels like the so-called Super Star Destroyer, and its simply appalling turning circle, demonstrating that sometimes bigger isn't better, it's just bigger. With those profound words of inscrutable wisdom, I'll hand back to Master David, who I'm sure will return us to the more comfortable realms of small words and even smaller concepts. Master David.
Thank you, ODS1. And Joe, I believe your daughter's a bit of a fan.
Yes, actually, one day you're coming back from swimming practice, and I normally skip ahead during certain parts because, you know, filter. And I pulled into the driveway, turned it off, and I hear this voice in the back going, "Daddy, can we finish hearing the robot?"
How old is she?
8.
Oh, that's cool. And my, if you don't yes. mind, and please, may I ask what her first name is?
Lucy.
Oh, same as my daughter's name. How freaky is that? Lucy, lovely to have you indirectly on the show. And the next thing you need to ask Daddy is, what's an IUD?
Oh, God. You evil
filter,
bastard,
filter,
you.
Filter.
It's an inexploded underground device. We've already come up with that.
What's inexploded?
Oh, it's a new word I just made up.
Right, okay.
Yeah. So, but no.
It starts with you, right?
Yeah, big shout out to you.
I need to be on mute for a minute, trying not to wet myself with laughter here.
So, yeah, no, lovely to have you on board, Lucy. That was Star Wars The Old Republic. So let's jump on to talking about some other stuff. I'll probably actually jump in first. I know last episode I mentioned about Hearthstone. I was playing the open beta, and after that episode I played it solidly for a few days after that, and I have to say I've really enjoyed it. But that said, for the last week I haven't gone near it, so I'm not sure if that's an indication of its longevity or more that I've just been busy, but... I know Simon and Christy, I think you'd rather use a cheese grater on your thigh than play it, was my vibe from last episode.
I'm not completely against trying it, although, no, who was it? I think SOE is actually going to, on the strength of Hearthstone, SOE is going to be bringing out, reviving something, I think, from, was it?
The thing that...
Neverwinter or something? So, yeah, it's become a thing now, that much is obvious.
And the difference with SOHO, though, is that the trading card game could end up being better than the actual game itself. Christy, you said you hadn't played it, but that you...
Yeah, I went to give it a go, and it came up error messaging on me, so I logged into WoW. But I'm noticing, actually, I've only experienced a couple of times, but on Twitter and stuff, there seems to be a lot of Blizzard having trouble with login servers or something along those lines.
There was a bit of that.
It just seemed like almost every day in the morning. Obviously, the morning, you know, I'm at work, so I don't give a crap. But yeah, it's like we understand that people are unable to log in, and I'm thinking, wow, I wonder what's going on there. But yeah, so I went to give it a go, and Blizzard said no.
Okay. And Joe, I don't even know that you're much of a Blizzard gamer, but is it something that you'd be likely to try?
No, I gave up the WoWcrack addiction 3 years ago, and I've managed to stay clean, so I'm going to avoid Hearthstone since it is the gateway drug.
Yes. That said, having played quite a bit of it, not once when I played it, I've thought, okay, I want to log out and log into WoW. Now it's different enough, but yeah, I don't know. It's just a nice, easy 10 minutes. But a game's about 10 minutes. I just like if I can jump in and jump out.
But I think that's part of the problem is I don't think it's so much a gateway drug as it is a gateway made of drugs. I mean, it's a freaking arch made of cocaine.
Yeah, true.
The Hearthstone itself is addictive without pulling you into anything else.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah.
Yeah, and I was quite the WoWcrack addict. I ran a raiding guild and everything.
Wow.
Yeah, that's dedication, I tell you.
Yeah, we were even listed on, not Guildox, but what the hell was the one that was before it that all of a sudden dropped off the face of the world? We were like 15 on the server for a while. I had to back away at that point and go, I'm going to take stock of my life now.
Well, rather than just having given it up, you could have put Simon, Chrissy, and I in it. We would have dropped the ranking 100 spots, and then you would have lost interest anyway with our skills.
Yes, my technique for most games is to run around in a small, tight circle.
I like that.
I don't even do that because in WoW, I'm a mage, and if you run, you can't do half the stuff you need to, so I just stand still and die. Anyway. So, yeah, that's Hearthstone. Again, check it out. It's free and enjoyable, but, yeah, addiction potential identified for sure. Christy, I know you were going to talk about having done some serious EVE and WoW time, you're going to talk a bit about endgame in an MMO and while you'll never do anything of significance within it.
Yeah, speaking of WoW and raiding guilds and things like that, I've been playing MMOs for a very long time. I don't want to think about it too much. I was quite late in the game because I stayed with MUDs for quite some time, but I have been around for a while. And one thing I've never, ever done is endgame. Never, ever, ever done it. And I was going to give it a go and realize why I've never, ever done it. Because I am, in fact, the most unluckiest person in the whole entire world. Honestly, give me dice and I will fail. I've actually been kicked out of D&D groups because my dice rolls are so terrible that I've got whole groups killed by goblins. That's how horrible I am. And it doesn't matter if it's a digital dice or a physical one. It just doesn't work with me. And unfortunately, a lot of MMOs in their end games rely on things called gear. And gear is gotten through things called RNG or, you know, random number generator, dice rolls, however you want to say it. So, yeah, I have been leveling up my healer with my tank friend, and I noticed more and more, like, the better I, like, sort of higher we got, the more I had to rely on gear from the auction house. In fact, all of Pandaland, I never once run any rolls on gear. I had to buy everything from the auction house. And I'm like, yeah, this isn't going to work. There's no way I am going to be able to raid or do anything like that unless I'm with some sort of dedicated guild that does some sort of dragon, whatever those points called, or something along those lines where essentially I have to earn the gear. But, yeah, so I went, screw that, and started playing EVE. I've actually cancelled my WoW subscription. Haven't told the boyfriend that yet, so that's not a conversation I'm looking forward to.
See, we should have had him on.
I'm single.
We should have gone Jerry Springer on this and had him on and let you break the news during the podcast.
Oh, no. Gee, I'm blushing now. See, not that that's hard.
The thing with WoW, I can totally see your point, but, I mean, WoW's put a lot of work into making the end gear gain relatively easier, but it still is very time consuming, and that's why I've got close to end game gear, like the best gear, a couple of times, but I've always failed to totally get there based on the amount of time you've got to put in, as you said, to do the runs and the dailies and so on to be able to fully achieve it. It's better than it was, but it's still, yeah, pretty intensive.
Yeah, my problem is that I am way too hard on myself and I'm a perfectionist when it comes to myself. So if somebody dies, I feel terrible for the rest of the, well, weeks really. And you know how hard it is for somebody not to die. And especially, you know, the boyfriend's not the best tank in the world.
Oh, we should have had him on.
Nah, he's cool. He just gets distracted and then suddenly it's like, dude, I'm out of mana. Will you use your freaking skills? Anyway.
Yeah, it's...
I'm surprised relationships last this long, really.
Yeah, particularly in WoW. Yeah, and I'm just surprised that in Pandaland you're needing to buy gear because, I mean, maybe that's been the healer because as a DPS, I leveled all the way through Pandaland just by picking up the quest gear.
Oh, so yeah, we haven't been doing any quests. We've been doing solely dungeons.
Oh, okay, yeah. Okay.
And I must admit, my breaking point was when we were 87. No, five, six, maybe 88, something along those lines. And we're doing like the very first dungeon, because that's where the random dungeon finder threw us in. And on the first boats, these boots dropped. And they were leather and they had int on them and they had spirit on them. And I'm like, oh my God, I can finally have these boots. But no, there was a level 85 first time doing the dungeon, just got to Pandaland. We both rolled and guess who won? And that's essentially what happened the whole time. I would have days where no gear would drop and then something would drop and then somebody else would win. And it was just like, yep, this is what's going to be to come. It's just not worth it. Definitely not worth the headache. It's fun. I absolutely love it, but I think I'd prefer to focus on MMOs and stuff that reward hard work and dedication and earning things than on luck. And that's only because I'm unlucky. If I was the luckiest person in the world, then I'd be totally like, whatever.
Yeah, that's right. At least you're honest. And so, so you've given up the sub and jumped into EVE Online. So in, 4,000 words or less, how have you found – it's one that's always appealed like hell to me, but I'm always too scared to give it a go because of the learning curve.
I have always loved EVE. I played it before. I got to the point where I wasn't – I wouldn't say I was high or anything like that, but I was with a corp and we were in a very high wormhole. Essentially, we lived in that wormhole and I was doing what would essentially be classes endgame stuff with EVE. Not that EVE really has endgame, but, it was that stuff where you do actually have to train for quite some time and have some pretty good ships and fitted to be able to do it. And then, unfortunately, like all things with MMOs, people had spats and left me broke and I quit. So I've come back now. I can't remember my username or password for any of my previous accounts. And it's been so long I haven't played it. So I've started again with a 21-day trial. And it's pretty much the same old EVE. Thankfully, I still remember a lot enough. None of that has changed. But there's also stuff that really has changed and it's kind of thrown me in a loop. I'm like, oh, my God, I'm a whole noob again. This is scary. But one of the things with EVE is people always say there's such a huge learning curve. But I've never experienced that at all. I really don't think there is actually that much of a learning curve. It's definitely a lot more aspects to it, but I wouldn't really say that it's hard.
Okay.
But that being said, on Twitter and stuff, I've pretty much been spamming the hell out of that. And I've been getting a lot of, how do you do this? How do you do that? Oh, my God, I didn't know that. So maybe I'm just, because I'm old school with it, that it doesn't feel that hard to me. And I know when I first started going out, which actually got me into writing with gaming because I wrote all these articles about EVE Online and I wrote fan fiction about EVE Online and all that stuff. So probably half the reason why I'm here is because of EVE Online.
Oh, okay.
But now I'm just trying to wonder if those are still online. Those would be embarrassing. But, yeah, I would like to be able to give people advice. I should have wrote down all the stuff that people ask me so I could explain it now, but sorry, I'm not organized. So at the moment, I've done all the tutorials. I've gone with Kaldari as my race, so I'm flying Kaldari ships, which is very unusual for me. Last time I played Amar, because Amar uses lasers, and I mean, spaceships and lasers, who can deny that? But I wanted to go shield tanking because in EVE, your defenses are based either around your shields or your armor. So either you shield tank or you armor tank. And so I wanted to shield tank because of my armor tank. So I went Kaldari. So I shoot missiles at things this time and I keep my shields up. But, I'm just pulling along at the moment trying to get after the tutorials, they direct you towards an epic storyline, and oh my God, this is extremely epic. It's so long and it takes you all over the Hi-Sec galaxy, and so I'm still just trying to get finished that, and I'm sort of quietly putting some feelers out to see what sort of corpse are around.
So you can kill them.
Well, I was talking to one recruiter and he's like, you seem quite knowledgeable for someone who's only had an account for like less than a week. And I'm like, yeah, I used to play and I I can't recover my old accounts, you know, and you can almost see the alarm bells going to his head, like spy, 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 spy. Yeah. And I know that if I can't even remember what my character's names were, so thankfully I can play dumb there. But if they actually saw some of my old character names, then yeah, because I did used to do corp infiltrating and spying and stuff like that in the past. So,
Joe, is Eve something you've ever played?
I have never even downloaded it. Once I realized how much interpersonal espionage was involved, I was like, screw that. If I was going to do that, I'd go to work for some big, giant, faceless real corporation and do that kind of thing. Yeah. There's real-world money there.
Yeah. And Simon, my recollection is that you either have played it or you're a bit like me, that you it's an appealing game, but you've not really gotten into it.
I tried the demo and was awestruck just by the – I mean, if you really get a sense of this. Obviously, this is a stupid statement, but there's a kernel of truth to it. It makes you realize how big space must be because everything's – there's so much nothing and so very little something, and it's so widely dispersed. And just – I just felt very – naked and very exposed, and I realized that I'm probably too cautious and way too suspicious to be able to play this properly, because I would maybe I'm paranoid, but in all honesty, in a game like Eve, I don't think there's such a thing as being paranoid. I think that's just healthy self-preservation.
Yeah,
I must admit, it was funny when somebody on Twitter was like, oh, I don't want to go to Jira. I hear they suicide bomb you. And I'm like, yeah, they do, but you're not going to get suicide bombed. Unless you're flying some sort of, you know, massive ship with a huge hull, they're just going to ignore you. But I know when I very, very first played, I think it took me – I wouldn't even fly to 0.7 space, which is still high sec. But all it means is that there's low sec nearby, not that you can get killed or anything like that. Like, it's completely – nothing, no difference between 0.5 and 0.9 in the sense of – high sec security. But yeah, I refused to go anywhere in that because I honestly thought I was going to get killed the moment I jumped through a gate. So I totally understand the paranoia.
But, see, those last 10 sentences turned me off going on, because now it's the learning curve. It's scaring me already.
Well, look, just bear in mind what happens if you're late with your rent on a space station. You get a massive three faction space battle breaking out, and what was it like? Was it 300k? They estimate the total damages. I think they lost between all three factions. I think it was like 29 capital ships were lost. It was something mind boggling in its scope.
Yeah, and that's the most part of it.
That all happens out in Nullsec. That's where all the cool people play. But, yeah, in high sec and low sec, or low sec's where the pirates hide, and wormholes is where the, I guess, socially inept people hide.
And low sec's also a stomach ulcer medication, but that's by the by. Now, Joe, what were you going to say?
Wasn't it something like the most expensive battle in the history of not just EVE, but all MMOs ever?
I think it was, and it's even got its own – it's getting its own memorial. It was that epic. Yeah.
That's the awesome thing about that. It's like, all in money. It's like the guy who lost all those plexes, and he actually lost thousands of dollars in real life money. silly people. Yes. Honestly, why? Why would you play around with plexes in your ship?
Yeah. So there's Eve. It's nice to come back to that after so long. I know we've mentioned it on and off over the time, but. And going from a well-established MMO to one that's about to establish itself, and that's Elder Scrolls Online, which is in beta. And so, Christy, while you're on the bandwagon, well, actually, I'll talk more broadly. I mean, Elder Scrolls Online, I remember, would it be 6-8 months ago, someone leaked the character creation screens and some early gameplay, and it looked like shit. Sorry, Lucy. See, now that I've got a real person that's a child, I'm going to talk differently on this podcast.
It's like when you're walking around the supermarket talking, then you get to the checkout and there's a child there and suddenly you're like policing your words.
So, yeah, it looked awful.
No, I filter her out of all the bad stuff quite well.
Oh, good stuff.
Parroting done right.
Excellent. So, yeah, it just looked awful back then. And then obviously it's in beta and a whole bunch of people, there's an Oceanic I don't run it, but there's a Gamers of Oceania Facebook page, and a lot of the guys on there are getting excited, including our former co-host Mark Duncan. And then they've had a closer look at it, and I know Mark himself is saying, I'm not even going to bother to play because the end game is basically only PvP. There's no PvE end game much to get excited about. And all I've heard is negative stuff. So that's my segue to you, Christy, as to whether you're finding the same thing.
Yeah, well, I think it's a bit harsh to judge endgame in a beta, considering that most games don't even show endgame in their betas. They barely even show you up to halfway through the game. But no, I don't think I've actually heard anything positive at all in any of my circles, which is quite surprising because as much as, you know, games do, you know, appeal to some people and don't appeal to others, it's just massively negative towards Elder Scrolls. I even had people like offering to give me their beta logins because they just really had no want to play it at all. It's quite surprising. But yeah, I've heard, well, I really don't want to say because it's also horrible. I've heard it's horrible, it's ugly, the gameplay's not very nice, Lucy, and people really, the only people I think are giving it a chance are those who are fully into the Elder Scrolls series, and they, I mean, yeah, that it's just to give it a chance. So this might be, it might be one of the biggest flops before it even launches that we've seen for quite some time.
Yeah, that's the vibe. I mean, that's very much the vibe I get purely from the social media and stuff like that. It's fascinating. And so, and you mentioned why we should ban general chat.
David, you really need to learn the difference between the colour pink and the colour red.
Oh, true. So this is Simon.
Yes.
What are your thoughts on all this? Sorry, yeah, that's...
Oh, I just wanted to see how long that would last
Sorry. I was going to throw to you anyway, but yes. Yeah. So why should we ban general chat, Simon?
Because it's full of, Lucy alert, dickheads.
Well, but Elder Scrolls in particular, because I know WoW's got a great reputation for that of many years.
And standing. Star Wars.
And Star Wars,
just any game, any general chat. Just some people should have their fingers cut off, really. But that aside, it's just the – in SWTOR, I've long since turned chat off in the general because it's either people who seem to have got their bear claw stuck – in the keyboard and on the number one or something, or they're just, I don't know, the level of thought that seems to go into most things that get typed in, apart from the standard ones of, you know, looking for groups and et cetera, et cetera, which people still insist on using instead of using the looking for group finder. I'm talking SWTOR here. It just staggers me sometimes. I mean, these are people who presumably vote or will be able to vote.
Yeah. See, I'm still immature enough that I always got a laugh out of the pre-server shutdown and WoW anal stuff where you would highlight a particular quest name and then put the word anal before or after it. That endlessly and still does amuse me. So maybe I'm made for general chat.
I was going to say, there, no, I am rolling my eyes going, oh, God, not this again.
Oh, I mean, it's totally old school and boring now, but I don't know. It's just maybe because I'm a nurse, I find it amusing.
Yes.
I still like the movie references. I'll admit that when someone starts up a Jawa thing in Star Wars with replacing a movie title, one word with Jawa, I get amused. But yeah, the anal stuff, no.
It was funny in 1990. It was funny in 2004, but I came to it late. So anyway. What about the NDA, Simon?
Well, I mean, the game, Elder, back on Elder Scrolls for a second, that game launches April 4th, I think it is. So obviously they're still in beta testing because they've just been doing stress testing this last weekend. And, what are we, February? I think there will be additional. I'm just wondering, how long are they going to leave the NDA in place? Yeah. How long should a game leave an NDA in place before release?
From what everybody's saying about the game, I'm thinking they might have to leave it in place about 3 or 4 weeks after launch.
That'll be good. We pay us money to play our game. By the way, you can't talk about it.
Those people are called reviewers. They're paid money to play games.
But yes, I think NDA should only ever be directed at media people where they want them to try something, but they don't want them to mention it to a certain time. And then that way everyone can play it and they can write their stuff about it or pre-record or whatever and then release it at said time. NDA should not be for players. They really shouldn't. Get your testers and then you're paying them to not talk about it. Just NDAs and the general populist gamers, just no. When did this start up? It's ridiculous.
But then I'd argue you can't separate the two. So particularly with dodgy websites like the Oceanic Gamer, we sort of fall in between that professional media and the fact that we're players as well. No, I'm being serious. So as far as...
If they're giving us a license as Oceanic Gamer writers and we should follow their rules, but if they're giving us a license as gamers and we don't actually have to talk about it or do anything with it, then yeah
but what I'm saying is if they say to gamers, look, you can talk about it all you want, with social media and everything else, that they actually to some extent have more power than the media. So it's not an all or nothing thing. You either let everyone go for it early on or you probably do have to keep everyone shut up to the last possible minute.
I was meaning NDAs on particular things, like, you know, something like something little you want to talk about, having it completely separate things, yeah. But, I there's a certain MMO that launched many long time ago now and I was part of something I'm not even allowed to say because I'm still under NDA about it. It's like, what? No, just don't.
Yeah.
And the worst thing is you couldn't even talk about, like, it's not that I couldn't talk about the game, it's I couldn't talk about anything, not the game, not how they treated us, not how they did or didn't communicate to us during this certain small window. Like, you couldn't even mention that you were a part of it. It's, and really, you're expecting me, a gamer, to not talk about that stuff, because I'm not going to talk about it now, obviously, because my name is here and everything like that, but I talk about it to my friends all the time.
Yeah, it's a fraught area. And I know, Joe, as far as your involvement with WildStar, I think you've had a bit of a different experience as far as the way they treat fan sites and press.
Oh, they've been awesome about it. I mean, Carla from WildStar Radio also does Corellian Run. So she's been in the podcasting thing for a while too. I'm relatively a noob. I've only been doing it a year. And they flew us out to Aliso Viejo and they gave us the 5-star treatment, hotel, flight, game time, awesome food, way too much alcohol. Oh, God, my head still hurts thinking about it a year later. But they treat their fan sites like they're legit press. You know, our NDA was lifted at the same time the press NDA was lifted. We could stream just like the real press sites could stream. They're just so awesome about it. And they actually published their whole patch notes because they realized, oh, this shit's going to leak out anyways. Mm. Let's cut that off now.
And, I mean, you guys, I wouldn't put in this basket, but the issue I had with Star Wars The Old Republic and the fan sites, they were pretty good at the time in the way they treated fan sites. But what I saw with the flying and whining and dining is that, and Simon, I'd be interested in your thoughts on this, how much legitimate criticism was going out from the fan sites in that context?
Well, there wasn't. I don't think there was a great deal of legitimate comment because, to be quite honest, I was involved in the beta testing pretty early on, and I let me just put it this way. With the beta testing that I've done this weekend, I like what I see in Elder Scrolls Online a lot more than what I was seeing in the beta testing of SWTOR. I mean, okay. I cancelled my pre-order for the collector's edition in SWTOR because I disliked what I saw so much. So, and just looking in the chat during beta, it was obvious that there was a lot of frustration that things that should have been dealt with or that people felt should have been addressed because they were just gaping holes in gameplay and just in the UI and so on weren't being addressed. So I don't think there was fair comment made to a lot of the websites that were allowed to talk about it.
Yeah, that was my experience as well. I mean, as you know, as running a pissy little Australian website on it, I can't complain about the level of access to information, although there was a very clear bias to what, and understandably so, the Darth haters, etc. of the world were getting to what I was getting. But yeah, it's just, you know, oh, Darth hater, we're so excited to be going to, you know, BioWare and getting all this behind-the-scenes stuff. And I never saw any serious criticism. And I emphasise again, Jay, this is definitely not aimed at you guys. But it's that link. Whereas the media, you're right, get the same treatment. They get the whining and the dining, but they also have the backing to be cynical and know that even if they do slag the hell out of it, they'll still get the information access.
Yeah, and I think maybe that's where Carbine is different because you look at when the NDA was released on Twitter. I think it was released in November. The game came out in December. It was only, you know, it was pretty close. And the reason they were keeping things bottled up was because the game wasn't finished. It wasn't finished on launch. We all know this. It's history. And I think Carbine and WildStar are probably where we would have liked SWTOR to be from a standpoint of the way the company treats its fans and the way the game stands. Because from what I see of WildStar, I'm looking forward to this game coming out, and I think justifiably so.
I think publishers have something to do with it as well. Like WildStar is published by NCSoft, and NCSoft has never been big on NDAs and things, and very open about communication with all their games. While SWTOR is released by someone else who loves keeping everything to a minimum. So maybe, yeah, it's a bit of higher bosses doing a bit of whipping going on there, but but yeah, I know with Guild Wars 2 was the same. ArenaNet spoiled the fun stuff out of people and you never heard anything bad about it. And everything that was bad was locked behind NDAs that were never lifted. So, you know, like something that kind of can't talk about. So, yeah, you never ever heard the bad stuff because they use the NDAs as a weapon.
That's right.
Yeah. How do you feel – what we've described other games, how WildStar and Carbine equate in that spectrum. Whereabouts would they be, would you say, Joe?
Oh, they're so liberal about it. They get the fact that, you know, it's not only that the stuff is going to leak, but that, like, we want to talk about stuff like this and it builds hype. They're totally great at manipulating the hype machine. Like we were talking about Star Wars and how bad they are at PR. These guys are good at it.
I've heard that happens.
Well, someone has to be.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, Joe, it's probably worth jumping in there. Do you want, because we need to wrap it up relatively soon, but can you give a bit of a nice overview of where the game's sitting at, how you're feeling about it? And I understand that you're under somewhat of an NDA still, though.
Yeah, they're only up to level 15. That's all we can talk about, but there's so much in there. It's
so what's
so
the max
polished.
Level, sorry, quickly?
50.
50, okay.
Starting at 50, and there's like I could go on forever about the paths and the classes. The character creator kind of still needs some work. That, like, you can't make an elderly skin tone, but you can do a lot with facial features. I mean, like Aeon level facial features, but Star Wars level body customization. Actually, less. You can't have like super heavy guy. Everybody's meant to fit one art style. But the PvP is amazing. Actually, the head of their PvP program is Jen Gordy, who was famous for Dark Ages of Camelot.
Okay.
They got they got WoW developers, DAOC. They're like an all-star cast. It's crazy, and it shows in this beta, which is so polished, and it's far readier than Star Wars was when it released.
Yeah, it looks like they're just the play videos, and with the devs. It actually, I mean, obviously they're highlighting things, but you can see that they're not just trying to do a tech demo or just steer you towards one thing or another. They're actually playing the game, and I think that's a really good sign.
Yeah, and it is fun to play. My only worry is towards end game, because it is a bit of a Twitch skill game, and well, I suck a lot more than I used to, so I don't know how well I'll do in 40-man raids.
Oh, look, don't worry about that, Joe. If SWOTOR has taught us anything, it's that people take at least 6 months to burn through the content before anyone even starts getting near end game.
Yeah. Is it RNG, or can I actually do end game in a game coming up? Oh, wait, you can't talk about that. That's beyond level 15.
But I got to say,
they haven't released that yet even, so I have no idea.
The 40-man raids, though, is a big appeal to me, because I went into WoW post 40-man, and I've always wanted to experience that.
Oh, me too. I reckon it sounds awesome being able to play and organize with that many people, you know, where you all have the same goal and on the same stream and anyway.
Well, if you'll know if I'm there. I'll be the one that's sort of standing off to one side running in a tight circle.
That's the episode title, by the way.
My boyfriend tanks walls, so you can't get any worse than that.
Tanks walls.
That's a good title.
Yeah, no, I think we're going to have him on next episode. Can you get him on next episode, Christy? I reckon that could be fun.
Oh, what? What? Oh, no. Oh, see, he'll be in. No, wait, no. Shh, go away. Right. We're talking about Wildstar here, people. Come on.
So, Joe, it sounds it's promising. Beta's looking promising. And is there an actual, playing ignoramus as usual, is there an actual launch date announced?
There's no real official launch date. But we were talking about it on the Wildstar Radio podcast, about speculating. I'm guessing for June. That's just my guess. Not even based on beta, just based on when every other game on the planet is coming out and when it would be a good time for them. But, you know, some people are speculating April, and some are saying, no, it won't be till fall. I don't know. Jeremy Gaffney, the executive producer, has been saying that it comes out when it's ready and not before.
Yeah.
So, whenever.
Okay. Excellent. Well, thank you for that roundup. I'm just going to very briefly shove in Marvel Heroes. God knows why.
It's awful.
Yeah, I know. I played it for about 40 minutes in the past fortnight. And it again confirmed for me how awful and mindless it all is. And so I logged out again after downloading about 8 gigabytes of updates. But yeah, I do not see the appeal. All they announce is new characters. And at the end of the day, it's just a click fest running around, smashing the crap out of stuff. I don't know. Compared to Diablo, which I always compare it to, it's got so much better a storyline than Marvel Heroes ever will.
Well, anyway. If anyone wants to play a superhero game, I would seriously suggest you have a good look at DC Universe Online. It's matured into a really good game after a similarly rocky start to a number of other games that we've played, and some of which we've loved.
Yeah.
But and you can play it free to play. So if you feel like donning a cape and some tights, that's the way to go. It's a good good action based combat MMO.
Couldn't be any worse at Marvel Heroes.
I miss City of Heroes.
Yeah, see, I regret not having got into City of Heroes, but I know I had a friend that did. Yeah, it looked really good because it had a lot of sandboxy stuff in it too, didn't it?
Yeah, it's kind of like me with Star Wars Galaxy, because I miss that one, and I wish that I got a chance at it, but Well, darn games.
Could I suggest you have a look at, if you anyone, if you're missing Star Wars, well, SWG, that's easier to say for some reason, have a Google repopulation and go and have a look at that.
Oh, yeah.
There's some stuff there I think you might like the look of. And they're working really hard. They seem like a good team, and I think they're going to put out a good product. It's just we need to get a bit more awareness out there. I'm seriously thinking about throwing them some cash.
Okay.
I have heard of that one, so yeah. I should put it back on my radar.
They've got a Kickstarter, Christy. I know how much you love
Oh, God, no. T-Fury and Kickstarter, two sites I've banned. I'm actually thinking about putting them into my router so I can't get to them.
Well, the Kickstarter for them has finished now, but you can still contribute and get some tiers of, you know, the same sort of reward scheme is available, even though the Kickstarter's finished. So go and have a look. Go and watch the videos. Have a look at the site. I can assure you there is no shortage of information on the details and the lore. But, seriously worth a look.
Okay. I'll try and put that in the show notes. And if I can get a $200 refund out of Gazillion for Marvel Heroes, I'll give it to Repopulation.
Yeah, I certainly would.
I'll say that I've met, not directly, but online, a lot of their writing staff. Because for a brief time I was on their writing staff before interpersonal things at work and at home like exploded and I lost all free time for a long time.
Oh.
Yeah, oh, I regret that. I hope I can worm my way back into their good graces. But their writing staff are some amazingly creative, talented people. I mean, just off the charts. Why they haven't been scooped up by big studios is to the repopulation's gain. Really great stuff. And so awesomely sandboxy, Star Wars Galaxy-ish. Christy, you will love it.
Yes, yes. A lot of the things you liked about SWG are going to be in this. Funny you should mention about the bigger studios because I've forgotten his name now. The crazy guy in charge of SOE. Did you catch what he was saying about an up to this point unannounced game that they've got in development? That a lot of SWG players will feel at home in.
No
point spreading rumors, but maybe that what I just said and what we were just talking about has got absolutely no relationship whatsoever. But be interesting if
that's the way.
We'll see how that develops.
Yeah. All right.
Oh, and just because I feel a wind up coming on, could I just mention? Although I can't talk about what I saw in Elder Scrolls Online, let me just say that don't believe everything you hear on the internet about how bad things are, because unless you're completely locked into a multiplayer version, the idea of a multiplayer version of Skyrim that's still exactly like Skyrim, or Oblivion that's still exactly like Oblivion, as long as you're not locked into freakish expectations, so anything that's not exactly what you've got in mind is a disappointment. If you're not someone who's that rigid and that unreasonable and unrealistic, just have a look and keep your eye on ESO, because I think you might find something there that interests you potentially. So.
Okay. Well, that's a hell of a show. I think we've even run over, which is unusual for us. I blame you, Joe.
I accept full blame.
Excellent. No, look, Joe, thank you so much for joining. It's been an absolute pleasure, and we'll definitely keep in touch. And hello again to Lucy, and please excuse all my co-hosts swearing. I'm against it, and I try and edit it out where I can.
Here's one for you, David. Booger.
Booger. So you can't beat a good booger. I think we're done. I said, as always, if you'd like to offer an opinion, suggestion, or some general abuse, we love to hear from you at contact@oceanicgamer.com or visit our highly successful Facebook page at facebook.com/TheOceanicGamer. You can also follow us on Twitter. So my handle is, again, very excitingly, TheOceanicGamer. You can stay in touch with Christy at Evil Flaming Cat with a C, and Simon tweets under RPG Beats RL. And Joe, got a Twitter handle?
I do. It's really super creative. It's at Joseph_Foreign.
Nice. I must add in ODS1's Twitter handle there too, which, Simon, can you confirm what that may or may not be?
Actually, I'm not sure.
No, that's all right. I'll try and remember to put that in if not this time next time.
I haven't followed him. I don't want like to encourage.
So
here, yeah. I was going to make him a girlfriend once I finished my my degree, but fine.
Yeah, see. So you'll find previous episodes of the show on iTunes, and we're also on the highly sought after Stitcher platform. Thanks very much for listening again, and thanks to you, Christy, and Simon, and again, Joe.
Thank you.
And thank you.
Thank you. It was an absolute pleasure.
And thank you for getting up so early. And I'm going to say it, even though you already have a great week. Remember, if your pug wipes, it's probably one of us was in it, or Gail. Bye.
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 From the coldest depths of interstellar space to the nastiest packed urban sprawls of Coruscant, this was Flashpoint.